she, as you all get carried close, she goes, "Hi, it's unusual to see travelers out this deep into the wood."
"Yes, it's unusual to see people living here."
"Well, it's quiet, and I like it. What? I think you're the odd ones out here, actually. What brings you so deep?"
"You should detect
my
magic.
House is here."
"That it's fine."
That just face was okay.
We're just passing through. We weren't expecting to see such a meadow and a house in the middle of the Kingswood."
"Well, the meadows are common in large forests occasionally. Sometimes the trees just don't want to grow, and it makes a nice place for my garden, and I mean, the house is fine."
It's a lovely little place you have set up."
"It's quiet, and I can be closer to the animals and listen to the bird song and tend to my garden and study the herbs and the nature and everything around here."
"Can I use my perception to, like, discreetly sniff?"
"Yeah, roll perception check."
"Yeah,
right, let's go
the
in
hag,
between her legs.
The hag
you're
smelled
sniffing
really bad. Like, I'm not, like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, to see if I can smell anything from here." No, I can't."
"Yeah, this close, wildflowers and pollen and grass." As she's, like, kind of approached, she's probably about 10 meters away. She's probably 5'11", thin, but not, like, gangly. From, like, her facial features, she has, like, a little bit of a bigger nose. Not, like, a, like,
nose.
More Grecian of a nose than some people you've seen. And she has, like, a pretty hefty bit of freckles. She's fairly tan. More red than brown hair is frizzy would be a good way of describing it. It is. It's kind of a little bit. It's a little humid. That would make sense.
Well, perhaps, since you're knowledgeable of the area, perhaps you could help us. We're on our way to the Great Tree, center of the forest. Would you happen to know the general direction?"
She goes, "Yeah, it's that way. I don't venture very far from the meadow. I tend my herbs and do a little bit of brewing and keep to myself and help the animals if they need help. I don't really go that deep into the wood. It doesn't want to be bothered."
"And you live here all by yourself?"
"Yeah, and I've been incredibly impolite. Would you like some tea?"
"No." "No." "Sorry, we're on important business."
"That's fair. That's totally fine.
Thank you for the offer."
"Love some tea."
She hasn't seen you yet.
"I know."
"I am so sus of this lady."
"Yeah. It could be like, getting like Goldberry vibes, like Tom Bombadil's wife. I don't know. Weird. Anyway."
"Ah, yes."
"Yes, the book that all of us have read."
"Forgot.
Is there a rock?"
"That's actually
ground?
Fairly early in
the
book.
It's like the first three chapters."
"How big is this house?"
From the outside, it's probably one okay sized room."
"Okay.
Is there any rocks on the ground?"
"What? Like, to what extent do you need a rock? Is the, like, there's not like a rock. You're in the woods. There's not like a field stone either. She doesn't have anything like that."
"I want to, while I'm still in stealth, I want to grab a rock and throw it to see what reaction she has to it."
"Why?
Like, throw it towards another side."
There's probably not a large enough rock to make noise. You could probably find, like, a decent-sized stick and, like, eat it.
Look through, like, a window while she's not looking. See if her house looks order."
"Oh, I know, yeah. But I also want to see if, like, she would, the first thing she thinks is dangerous to attack."
"Well, she waved at us. I don't know."
"That's true." How far away is she from her home?
10 meters.
How far?
Don't let me talk you out of anything. Do what you want to do.
She's a garden's a large garden's distance from her house.
I'm gonna keep back for a little bit.
Okay.
How long have you been living in the Kingswood?
How long have I been living here? Probably about 80 seasons.
Be an elf.
I don't keep a calendar.
That's only like 20 years.
Is she not human?
That's
I mean, like we're right years. In front of her, right?
80 seasons.
Divided by 4.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She's not explicitly an elf. Her face is too round and a little too filled in to be an elf. She's also, if she was an elf, she would be a like 99th percentile tall elf. Elves are traditionally shorter than humans.
Is that right?
D&D.
Huh. No.
Elf range is between like 5'1 and 5'8.
I'm sorry. I don't believe I caught your name. I am Illicol.
Illicol, it's nice to meet you. My name is Althuala.
Half elf.
Welcome to my meadow.
Nice to meet you. It is,
well, I say it's my meadow. It's nature's meadow, but I do live here.
Well, it is very nice to meet you. My name is Alphonse.
Alphonse. What a good name. And you appear to be a wizard. I don't mean any offense. You just look so wizardly. I consider myself a mage as well. A green mage, but a mage.
It's a noble field to follow. We're somewhat entangled with the natures as it is, funny enough.
Oh? It seems like quite a long story to not have tea over.
You know what?
I apologize for my crassness.
I do believe tea would be lovely.
Yes, I suppose we could spare some time.
That's great. And your friend in the wood? Would they like to join too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ronald? Oh.
You're telling me she rolled better than a 30? On perception? You're telling me she rolled a nat 20 and her modifier is higher than 10 for perception? No.
Nat 20 would perceive it.
I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like this. Vibes were fine until now.
Probably like Snow White. She's got birds around that she can communicate with, so she's literally can see everything. I think she's like a druid,
walk out.
Right?
Hmm? Yeah.
Hello.
I don't say anything. I'm so sus.
That's fair.
You drop your rock.
You stick.
I grab the stick and I throw it somewhere.
In some nondescript location.
Angry stick throw.
Yeah, an angry stick throw. Dang it!
I'll get some water from the well really quick. And she walks around the side of the house. And she goes, do come in. You can have a seat inside. I don't have enough chairs. I don't usually have company of 4, if any at all. I'm afraid I only have one other chair. I have 2 chairs. I have one for myself and one in case of a guest. But that's...
You just, like, stand in the doorway and just kind of, I don't know, observe or I guess perceive anything. I don't want to go inside without a feeling.
Yeah,
like
okay,
it's
you
like...
walk up to the door.
See a large...
Are you looking
inside?
Fucking moth.
There's a... There are 3 windows. See, there's a door, a window, a window, a window. There's a door to the right of which is a window.
Mm-hmm.
There's a window on this wall, on your left wall. Mm-hmm. There's kind of like a halfish wall, which there appears to be a bed on the other side of. There's a window on the far wall, and then on the right wall is a fireplace. So there's no window on the third wall. And in the fireplace is like a, it's not a cauldron. It's a large pot, large black pot. I hesitate to call it a cauldron because I feel like that word is, has connotation.
It's a cooking pot.
It's a, yeah. It's a big cooking pot on the fire.
I'll head in.
There's some daylight. You have to duck a little bit. The ceiling is probably, it's thatched roof, but the ceiling, it appears like on this half of the room where the fireplace isn't, there might be like a little bit of like a half attic with, you could put some storage or something above your head. There's actually a ceiling. It's not the roof right here. You have to duck to get in. The doorway is a little low. And there is a singular table with two chairs up against the near wall to you. There's a bookshelf with six books and a variety of things in containers of glass. There's some like herbs hanging from the potential like half attic. They're kind of long. There's definitely one that's like a bunch of cloves of garlic, maybe on a string, and a few other things you can't identify. And then there's a single flower in the window across from the fireplace. It looks like a little wooden bucket of a pot.
Very Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. Some like earthenware, clay, silverware, or like you see like clay, like some clay mugs and two plates. It's very, very simple. And you actually see through the window across, you see her pass by, and she's got, appears to be a bucket full of water. And she kind of, she passes behind. You hear her walk around the side of the building, Zixel, who hasn't come all the way in, and then she comes up behind you, and she goes, "Excuse me, I had to get in."
"Oh, my apologies."
It's no trouble, really. And she kind of comes in with this wooden bucket of water, and she fills a kettle with it, and she sets the kettle over the fire. She goes, I have a couple different types of tea. I've managed to grow a little bit of white tea, actually. It's not the best place to grow tea, but I try. And I have some black tea that occasionally a couple woodsmen will come through here, and they do a little bit of trading with me. I'm pretty far away, though. And I could also do have a little bit of lavender. I could make a tea out of that, and I have some chamomile as well. And I have a tiny bit of honey, but it's not much, and I want to be kind, but I really don't want to waste it.
Black tea sounds lovely.
Black tea? That sounds, it's great. For the rest of you?
Black will do.
That's good. You don't have to drink tea, sir, if you don't want tea. I can absolutely have you not have tea. It's fine. You might not like tea. I could also, fresh water. I just drew it from the well. It's fairly cold. Spring fed.
I'll have some water.
Lavender tea?
Water? Lavender tea? I'll try to do a little bit for everyone. I only have one kettle, though. Or I only have one serving pot, so I'll do my best. The water boils, and she makes tea, and she puts a little bit in each. And she has four cups. So the fact that Zixel didn't want tea in a teacup, that Zixel, you get a large clay cup, and she kind of dunks fresh water, and she walks over and she hands it to you.
Thank you.
The other three of you each get tea, and she has a small cup of tea in a clay mug or clay teacup as well.
Thank you.
Matches the teapot that the boiling water went into.
I cast actually she does three cups of black tea to make it taste like it's got three sugars and one honey.
It works. She goes, "Oh, very neat.
Handy in a pinch."
best dieting trick ever.
Yeah,
yeah, you, no kidding.
You make celery taste like cake.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but
all
can
of,
you make
all
it
of our road rations
texture?
Have literally been like steak and mashed potatoes the entire time.
Yeah, Alphonse is living the life.
It does not change the texture. No. It is.
It's something though.
Yeah.
Perfect for tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but imagine if you eat celery and taste like potato chips or something. Like, you still get the crunch a little bit.
Yeah.
Just get a
you'd like make a smoothie that's really healthy and it just tastes like a milkshake or something. Mm-hmm.
Crunchy cake.
I know that, like, in Eberron,
plain
anyway,
pasta.
there's like it's actually like a utility where like there's restaurants and stuff where they just make food taste.
That's all they
like
do
things.
Is
yeah. Profession.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
All right. Yeah. And she goes, you all are quite far from anything. It's dangerous out here.
But what about you then?
Oh, the animals don't bother me and everything else seems to stay away from the glade. So I just kind of, I guess it's more of a meadow than a glade, huh? Isn't it? I never really thought about it. I don't get to talk to strangers much. Oh, I don't really get along with people much, honestly. I'm kind of awkward and people don't like me.
I'm different. I'm quirky.
So,
with all the other
just,
girls.
Just you here. The other day I saw an owlbear, though, and that was a lot. He was very nice, though.
Do you possess the ability to commune with animals?
I don't commune, but sometimes I talk to them.
What direction was that owl bear in? Anywhere near where we're going?
I mean, he said he was trying to find his mate. I think he headed straight west. He's very busy.
Any trolls?
Had a bit of an accent too. Oh, troll! They're such a pain. One lumbered through here the other day, and I was lucky enough to scare it off and convince it that it didn't belong here. They just break trees as they go by just for fun. Just large branches, like how would you like it if I just broke your arm? Just you know, that's so rude. They say trees can't feel pain, but I know they don't want their branches broken off just willy-nilly. Sorry, I get passionate about that. Well, she, I don't have
the earth needs protection too.
Yeah, and that's why I can't stand cities. It's all stone and metal. Ugh, metal. And
I'm sorry, what did you say your name was? I don't believe I caught it.
Althuala.
Althuala.
Yeah. Ugh. Just thinking about the ringing of metal gives me it's like claws.
I look at my own hands.
Gloves.
Huh.
You say you study the nature.
Oh yeah, a lot actually. I'm very familiar with most of the plants and animals that are around here, and within like the like quarter mile radius at least. And I started getting the mushrooms. They're kind of interesting because they come and go with the seasons, and depending on if something like dies, and then there's this one specific grouping that only grows in caves, and they're kind of awkward looking, and I call them wander caps because if you have one, they make you feel like you're somewhere else. And then there's a bunch of different wild herbs that grow around here, and I can't get them to grow in the garden, but they'll grow all in the forest. And I'm talking a lot, aren't I? I'm so sorry. I always do this.
Have you had much encounter with the Fae?
I probably more than most, but not a lot. They tend to leave me alone. I mean, they like it here. They also don't like metal, so they sometimes they come and talk, but you know, it's a dryad here, dryad there.
Have the dryad specifically and any summer based fae, have they been acting out of the ordinary? To your recall.
No, the weather's been really weird, and I don't think they like that. They seem a little, I mean, they're tree spirits. It's even the trees hardly get them. They seem a little agitated. That's the past month or so. I mean, that happens sometimes. Though they're temperamental, right? Like nature gets a little temperamental sometimes. You should see some of the thunderstorms out here, and the stars at night. Yes, lovely. It is. It's so much. It's so much better than in the city.
With you being so attuned with the nature, a little temperamental. Have you noticed any shifts in the season? Where, I'll leave it there. We've noticed many, many movements among frost spiders and heard talk of frost giants in the north and ice dragons.
Frost giants. We've seen frost spider.
We've seen a lot of movement of the winter variety. And
I mean, it's been unseasonable multiple times. I mean, that's kind of odd, isn't it? I've been here a long time, and I guess this past season so far has been back and forth and 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 back and forth, but back and forth. Yeah, I guess that's weird. Didn't really think about it. I've never seen a frost spider. That sounds terrifying. Or a frost giant. Like real giants? Like
I have not had the privilege of meeting a frost giant myself, but
bigger than this fella here.
Mm-hmm.
There have been very, very disturbing reports in the north of movement of large mounts coming to the south.
That and sounds awful.
That is what kind of brings us to our business. We have kind of walked ourselves into a little bit of a disagreement.
What are you doing, Kay?
I don't know.
Well, she's being a little
forthcoming for Alphonse, and also just in general.
You think? I don't know.
We don't know who the fuck this lady
is. I'm not getting into it.
Okay, okay. Just making sure.
But like, and we're if there's any fae in your area that are capable of communication, we wouldn't mind talking with them.
Oh no, not really. I mean, that I haven't seen any, at least. I mean, and like the dryads and the nymphs and all them, they don't even really talk much. They just kind of pass by. They talk about as much as the trees do, honestly. And it's about as cryptic. They're usually just passing through. Sometimes they'll leave me a blessing or something for taking care of a tree that is wounded or something like that. That's neither here nor there. That's all I've seen. I really do just kind of stick here, and it's unusual to see four traveling this deep in the wood.
I just want to say that, like, Zixel never sat down. He's just like, he's kind of like leaning up against a wall close to like a window, and he's just like frequently just kind of like glancing outside just to see if there's anything odd.
Make a perception check. Who sat down? Only one chair. Unless you both sat down, in which case she's kind of standing and been talking. And if she is standing and talking, she paces a little bit.
That's a 10.
I probably sat down.
Nothing out of the ordinary. A cloud passes over at one point, and it gets really shady for a second. And then that ends.
I go look at her garden.
Can you go look at her garden?
Yeah, like physically.
I mean, if you want to.
Okay.
Do you just get up and leave?
Yeah.
Or do you just leave?
Yeah, that's fine. Like after she finishes, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go look at the garden.
He's an odd one, isn't he?
Yes.
He is.
He's a little antisocial.
Make an investigation check.
Investigation, that is a 17.
Pretty good. There are some tomatoes. There are what appear to be carrots. There appear to be a couple fruit. Like separate is appears like she might have a couple like fruit bearing things that are attempting to sprout. There is some dead ivy, a couple wildflowers, catnip.
Zigzag.
And
I'll be back.
Definitely like a plethora of herbs and other like things that would potentially go in like a potion, like all kind, like not inedible things, but it's those are not things you would mix into something you would eat for sure. It would be herbology more than anything, and you would have to make a check to understand what they are.
Mm-hmm. But they're, I just want to chill with multiple the different plants. Types of herbs.
Okay. Make a nature check.
Make a nature check for how much you vibe with the plants.
Yep.
That is a 25.
All right. As you sit there, do you vibe with them? No, you feel very natural. There is a slight breeze and you can hear the rustling in the trees. It's really interesting because you feel the breeze pass by and you hear it rustle the trees all the way down the middle. And it's kind of an interesting sound because it passes is like a wave down the edge of the trees. Those of you inside, how are you steering the conversation?
Any family?
Not a long time. My father was never there. My mother passed when I was quite young. And I had an uncle and he was kind of a jerk, and first chance I had to leave home, I did.
Why here though?
It's a nice meadow. I built this house myself. It took a long time and I had a little bit of help occasionally. It
does seem quiet. Like a very peaceful place you have here, a nice place to live, but I can't help but worry for someone living in the King's Wood. It has something of a reputation.
Well, I've heard from some Kingsguard that have passed through, they're so military. I don't bother anything here. Nothing bothers me. It's fairly simple. Even things that people call monsters, like the trolls. You know how trolls are. A little bit of fire scares them right off. They don't like fire too much. But, you know, fire has its place in everything else. Even a strike of lightning calls fire.
I love that, Kev. It's just like, trolls fire. Well, thank you for the tea.
We best
thank
be
you
off.
For the conversation, yes.
It was somewhat my pleasure.
You say we're impolite. What a weird thing to say.
We could have brought Evandra here.
Mm-hmm. Could have hung out. Yeah, have to start heading out, I guess.
All right. Yep, you leave out. Pilot is just kind of sitting in the middle
I'm
of the garden.
I'm not actually sitting. Standing. I'm actually like starfishing.
Oh, starfish. Right on the ground. Just in the middle of the garden.
Yeah.
As you've laid there very still, she kind of sees you all out, and she sees you like laying in the center of the garden, and like a bunny has kind of come out of the woods and is like kind of approached, and she goes, "Hey, you, get out of here. Last time you ate my carrots." She goes, "That whole family is just, they're so greedy." And the bunny like off into the woods. And now they've got another litter on the way, too, on top of everything. What jerks. Too many mouths to feed, that's what I say. Always.
They're just surviving, just like you.
Yeah, but do they have to survive on my carrots? I would like to make a nice soup.
She got aggressive.
You've never had stupid birds and stuff eat stuff out of your garden, have you?
She's literally like peak druid, vibing with nature and animals, and now she's pissed off at these rabbits.
She probably feeds them and then they just take more.
I love nature, except these rabbits.
These rabbits in particular.
Specific rabbits. I take out my dagger and go for the rabbit.
Hey! No! You suck! I need everyone but Pilot to make a perception check. Pilot, as you take out your dagger and you start charging the rabbit, you feel a vine catch your leg and it yanks you really hard, and you immediately like get stopped and you get pulled back 10 feet.
What did I notice?
Saf takes 6 points of damage.
Well, hold on and though. What did I notice?
Mm-hmm.
You noticed her cast the spell. Like, as she just kind of reached out, she actually cast the spell. You didn't notice in initiative to do like a counter spell or something. She just reaches out and says something, and this vine whips up and wraps around Pilot's leg and yanks Pilot back really quick.
I pull back Starfish into the garden.
It is also piercing damage. It appears that the vine was covered in thorns.
Nice.
That was a little uncalled for.
I put myself in between Pilot and her.
I was just stopping him from attacking the rabbits. It's not that big of a deal. They're jerks, but there's no need to murder anyone.
There's no need to do damage to our friend. A simple, "What are you doing?" would have sufficed.
I drew a dagger and tried to attack your friend, I don't think you would say, "What are you doing?"
Well, that's what you just did.
That's what they just did.
Ronald is a human who's capable of communicating.
And those rabbits are equally capable of communicating and feeling pain.
And you are able to use your words. I'm sure that Pilot could, Ronald would not have caught up with the rabbit before it made it to the wood.
You say that?
It was extremely unnecessary for you to harm our friend.
I didn't intend to harm. I intended to stop. I can't help that the vine is covered in thorns.
That seems a little bit like harm is bound to come from that.
Well, it's the only way I could stop them.
We are adults who can use our words.
I did. I said stop.
While casting.
And then I threw a vine.
That's just like me saying to a child, "Don't put that in your mouth," and slapping them across the mouth.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a little bit of an overreaction.
Had somebody running with a dagger at your friends, I doubt you would say, "Hey, stop, that sounds like a bad idea."
I do not... We had no reason to believe they are your friends after you complained that they were surviving.
I said they were jerks. I didn't say they were murderers.
Yes, and you just harmed our friend. We will be on our way. Thank you for the tea. I give Ronald a hand up.
I do. I turn back and be like, "I like you. Sorry about your friend, by the way."
Just
some voice told me that he wanted rabbit stew.
Stay safe.
You as well.
Okay, you leave the meadow and you
Zixel like walks up to her, like, I tried to warn you. And he walks away.
Shakes her head, and you see, if you look back, you see her walk over to her watering can, and she goes on about the rest of her plants. Zaf,
can I ask, what was the point of rolling if I couldn't have cast counterspell anyway? 6 points of damage is a lot.
You would not have even...
Well, what did I notice? I'm sure we all noticed that.
That's the only thing. They didn't even see her.
We just knew that a vine.
Without it, you would have seen a vine just trip Pilot. Okay. Otherwise.
Not specifically know that she cast it.
Okay. Hmm.
But yeah, you head, pilot, after this time has passed, you took about an hour to get here from where you were. The tightening around your wrist is getting a little more intense, and to some extent it feels like it pulses a little bit, almost like a heartbeat.
Speed up to get to the portal. Was it the doorway?
Yeah, there's a doorway.
Mm-hmm. I want to speed up slightly. Okay. And I try to get them to follow.
Okay. You probably had tea around tea time, to be fair. You continue on, kind of following. Can I get survival checks again? Two survival checks. Or a survival check with advantage if someone wants to assist someone else.
I have a 17 plus 8.
That'll do.
I think that's like 25. Don't ask me to do math. I'm not good at it.
Okay. Was that with advantage?
No, that was just a flat roll.
17. Okay. I'm fine with that roll.
Okay.
Where the fuck is his mom?
I could try to re-roll. It's a 16 on the die, so.
Okay. So you're 25-ish. Continue on. You're avoiding natural dangers pretty well. You continue, and probably another 2 hours go by. The wood, the king's wood, the woods, the forest, get thicker and thicker and thicker. And you start... Now it's like a hassle to keep moving. Like... Your general speed is like down, like where your normal walking, like your normal travel time is now halved, essentially. That's how slow you're having to, just because it's so thickly overgrown. You're trying to avoid, like, you don't want to step on a snake at all. The trees are pretty thick. There's natural dangers that come with being deep in the forest. You don't want to like stick your arm straight into poison ivy. Alphonse, a bug just like flies and hits you right in the face, scares the mess out of you. It's a big bug too. I don't know what it was. It was fast. It was big. Hit you in the face. Moved on. Hopefully didn't get in your hood. There, you do see at one point there is a deer that through the forest. It is a buck. It is.
That like the black tail deer or whatever, the inverse of white tail.
It does not appear. Actually, you know, make a perception check since you're looking for it.
21.
It is not. It's just a regular white tail deer. It does not appear to be the inverse. After probably another hour walking, the sun is getting pretty low, and if you don't attempt to make camp, you're going to be trying to make camp in a dense wood in the dark, and that is not good at all. So you're going to have to find some sort of potentially campable position.
All right. Yeah, we'll start looking.
Okay. I'll need one perception and one survival check.
I can do perception.
I can try survival.
21. Back 16s.
An survival. 8 for survival. Oof.
Yeah, not good.
Is that a roll we can help with or do twice?
No, because it's, and I'm doing it as a not as a contest, but as a like a set of skill checks. Alphonse, you find like kind of a clearer spot in the trees. You're like, there's something. There's a little less dense here. Maybe we can make a fire. And you're able to start to gather up some wood and like sit it out, and you don't notice till you've like all kind of settled. It's real damp. Like you sit down and you like you feel it after like a minute, just long enough for it to soak into your clothes. The reason why it's a little clearer here is that it's a little more wet, and it's your butts get a little wet and you gotta like dry off. You might want to move your your beds out of like this small clear area. You can get a fire going in this area. If you could dry like the entire area, that would be useful. But I get it's kind of like in like after noticing it, you notice that you're kind of in the lee of everywhere. It's a little downhill from everything around here, so it probably puddles up when it rains, but it hasn't rained recently. But it all the water kind of flows this way a little bit.
I grab my beeswax and wax my butt just so it doesn't rust.
Okay. Maintenance handled. You start to prepare.
So can I like use prestidigitation to dry my butt?
You can. You still do. You can't dry this entire clearing though.
No. My butt.
You could. Just my clothes. You could stand up and dry your butt.
Cool. Dry butt.
Press to digitate your butt. Dry.
I offer my services to others.
Be aware of where you put your
dryer.
I can do it myself.
You ever wash your hands in like a public restroom and you splash water and it ends up on your pants, mm-hmm. and you try to stand next to the hand dryer to like try to get your like leg a little bit dry at the same time? It's essentially like that, except really fast. That's the prestidigitation noise. Suddenly dry, a little toasty.
Nice. Local.
You get a bit of a fire going. Should you wish. It takes a second for it to catch, because the wood around here is a little damp. It takes a second. It does catch eventually.
Instantaneously light or snuff out a candle, a torch, or a small campfire.
Okay. You light it. It takes a second for all of the branches to catch. You have a lighter. I'm not saying
it. Firebolt.
That'll do. Ah! All the branches completely burned to cinders. No, you get the fire going. It just takes a second as you feed it. Like even as you feed a stick, the stick takes a second to go up as it dries and then catches.
And what is the description of the area that we've moved into? As you said, the first one was all wet.
You just kind of moved off of the wetness. Okay. Like you just have to like, as you like sit down and like sat and put out like. Unrolled your bedrolls, you're like, you just have to like move them out of the kind of like downwardness. You have to move them. The like fire and stuff can still like catch in this area. You just have to be aware that if, like you sit down on the ground, your clothes get a little wet. So you need to move out of the kind of indentation in the ground. Gotcha. Which means your beds get a little more spread apart than like right up on top of the fire, or you could move like and be like really densely huddled in between some trees, but either way is relatively unimportant. You're within like 20-foot radius of each other. Yeah, you get your camp set up. You have a meal, should you choose to. Zixel can actually like kind of whip up your rations into something a little more appetizing, even though you need to get them from the king's chef, who can whip up some pretty good hardtack. He has like a few things of seasoning and a few other and some cooking utensils that'll soften the jerky to where it's not like straight leather, and you could even like mix some of it into like a stew if you wanted. Zixel also knows a really good recipe for fire-baked bread, where you bury the bread in the coals and then it cooks all the way through. It's unleavened. It's pretty neat. You settle down for the evening. Have any fireside chats? Anything along those lines? You have walked pretty far, you think? You're unsure of mileage, but your feet are all tired.
Maybe plan what we're going to do when we get to Titania?
I feel like winging it works.
Okay.
Well, what were you told to do? Just meet with her?
I don't know. It's been so long.
We need to ask her why she didn't take up the mantle.
Yeah, and see if she'll agree to meet with Mab. Mab? What have you done to me, Kay?
Got him. Essentially, we're just going there and seeing, what the fuck? Where were you?
What the fuck did you do?
However, like, it seems like, from What's-Her-Face, the summer creatures aren't being out of the ordinary or aggressive. I mean, other than like the rabbit stealing her food.
we were attacked by dryads.
No, weren't. We attacked dryads.
Oh, the winter drow was attacking or was fighting dryads. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lady didn't notice summer creatures acting up. She also didn't notice winter creatures acting up.
Yeah, but she said like spiders and stuff were unusual in these parts anyway.
I don't think there's much we need to talk about.
Okay.
Well, Pavandra's okay. That's about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or did tell her to suck eggs? Just get out of here.
We did no such thing.
We really liability. Didn't.
It was a liability. She almost burned. We're going
to talk to a fey immortal queen. She has almost burned down a building. She summoned a deadly creature by accident. She's gotten herself in with someone who is some sort of master criminal who has tasked her to kill a prince. She's a little bit of a liability.
Maybe.
Just a little bit.
What order of watch are we taking? Now there's four of you. You don't want to spend as much time on a watch.
I can get more sleep first.
Okay.
I'll go second.
Okay.
I can wake up early.
You only want to do three? Or you want to do four watches? You can do...
Do you want to take third pilot and I can take fourth?
I'll take third and fourth.
You sure?
Pilot wouldn't have enough rest by then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It gives Ilkal full night sleep, just vibing.
First one's gonna be important.
Yeah, Alphonse, make a perception check.
Yep. Oof. 17.
Your watch is about 3 hours. 3 or 4 hours. About 3 hours in, which is just before midnight-ish, across the fire from you and kind of deep in the woods, you see just two glowing orange orbs just kind of close together. They're probably, you can't really tell the distance, you don't know how big they are, but they're just kind of in between all the trees, just two big orange orbs. They tilt to where one is a little bit higher than the other. They go back to normal. And then they kind of fade away. You don't hear anything or see anything outside of like foresty stuff that would not make your like self-defense senses tingle. Other than that, which is a really odd thing. It was like right in your path of vision, right where you were looking right then too. Other than that, your watch goes uneventful. Next watch, you wake up Sixel just after midnight. Is there any exchange of words that you want to have?
Yeah, I just watch out for the predators of the forest. I saw a pair of eyes. That's normal out here.
You know, they were, well, you can't tell how big they were. If it was a pair of eyes, they were very big.
It was a very big pair of eyes.
Or very close.
Or very close.
Probably, like, compared to, like, my eye, probably, like, that big.
Mm.
Because,
can I just point the general direction of where they were?
Yeah. For my reference, it's a pack of icebreakers. This episode not sponsored by icebreakers.
Not yet.
Zixel, you awaken? You do your cat stretches?
Big stretch. Maybe climb up a tree.
Off in the etherealness, you hear, ooh, big stretch.
Pat your claws on a tree.
Yeah.
Make a perception check for your watch.
Fuck. Seven. No.
Seven. Oh. Nice. Just watching them pop up.
Yeah.
Hell stretching a little too much.
Theo's like, yes, combat. He rolled low. That means we're going to fight something.
The murderous lust.
Oh, yeah. I always want combat, and then I end up getting up really salty when my dice just fuck me over. I can't win.
Part of the game.
Zixel, you half asleep, you catch yourself occasionally nodding, and over your shoulder, one of these times, like you your head slumps, and you jolt up as you hear, "Hey, Catman, you must wake up. Many dangers in the forest." Yeah. And you jerk up as you hear something, and you look around. There's nothing there. There's nothing.
You're wide awake now, at least.
You for the rest of your watch, wide awake, undisturbed.
Nice.
Great.
About 2.5 hours later, maybe three. Maybe this happened like early on. You wake up, Pilot. Any exchange that you want to happen happens.
Alphonse says that he saw some eyes off in the distance. So keep your eyes peeled.
Take my eyes. I'm kidding.
nothing. Zixel about the voice.
Zixel, make a constitution check.
The voice.
You might be embarrassed too.
I didn't see, because I know I was falling asleep, and I was like,
"But something said, oi, Catman, you've never referred to yourself as Catman before, have you?"
He might have thought he was like half dreaming.
Yeah, I'm taking it as half dreaming, and he's just like embarrassed that happened.
Yeah, that's probably not something he would willingly offer up.
Why?
Right. You never called yourself Catman, have you?
Oh, I'm taking it as Zixel's embarrassed, and that's that.
That's perfect.
Nail between your legs.
What did you want me to roll, Noah?
A constitution check.
Oh no.
Oh great.
That is your inner monologue voice.
No,
from now
that
on.
One.
No way.
Oh no.
That hurt.
Oh boy.
You are awake through like half of Pilot's like first little bit of a watch. Actually, no, because you said we're going to do four watches, and Pilot said they would take the last. So you would have had three. Alphonse would add three. Pilot would do six. You have a tough time falling asleep. You are just like, "I've never called myself Catman. That's in fact quite demeaning." You're just, it's like one of those, like, you lay down at night and you look at your ceiling and you think about the heat death of the universe, and you're just like, why am I here? Why is anybody here? Why am I capable of conscious thought? And that is where you are, is in kind of that space for a solid like 2 hours. I guess you're just laying there trying to be asleep, eyes closed, wide awake.
This is me every fucking night lately.
Yeah. Yo, serious question. I hope you're okay.
No, like other than nighttime, I'm fine. I just can't fall asleep. I'm good.
Your first pilot, first watch, perception check.
That's sad.
No?
Yeah, that's a whole four.
No way.
Ooh.
Another one?
As Pilot, you don't usually just do a lot of thinking, but tonight you're doing a lot of thinking, and you kind of you go away from like sentry mode. You kind of just kind of think about stuff, like what you've gotten yourself into, and like how quick everybody was ready to just like murder that random lady because you were going after those rabbits. And then you kind of think like, why did I just go after those rabbits? I can choose not to do stuff. But when somebody says to do something, I just want to.
You're that friend in the group.
And you're so deep in thought, and you hear a branch snap above your head, and you look up, and just tree. You're like, huh? And it snaps you up, and you're like, oh, I gotta be paying attention. I'm on watch. And you hear, just after that, you hear,
oh shit.
Kind of a laugh.
Fuck.
You need a perception check for your second watch.
God damn it.
Oh, Seth.
Are you serious?
Your dice are always so kind to you. What did you do to them?
This one's going to Dice Jail. I got it the same 4.
Okay.
Bea, what have you done to me? I want to know.
Your dice have taken the curse off of mine.
As you drift back into your thoughts, you start to lose yourself of time and place. And a voice pulls you out of that as the sun starts to rise. You hear, "Lost in the mind you are. Do not wish to be lost in the forest, little one. You need not be so bold. A mission you have to finish. And yet from me you have not passed. For me perhaps you see. Later today, my riddle's 3. The catgut calls in the middle of the night. The catman sleeps. The wizard has sight."
What was the first thing you said?
I know.
The blank sleeps in the night.
Catigan.
Okay.
This asshole just called me out. Now Pilot knows that I fell asleep.
What the fuck?
How dare you?
But you all, Pilot, you're like, you're full. What the fuck was that? You look around, there's nothing. It's trees. The sun has just risen a little bit. It is, you were surprised because it's daylight. And there's a little bit of haze among the trees, a little bit of fog. And you were like, it was dark last time I checked. And here you are. You wake everyone else up. Congratulations, you've all completed a long rest.
I point at Zixel and go, "Oi, Catman."
Zixel just like,
"You what, mate?"
He just like stares at Pilot.
What?
Excuse me?
You had a good rest. And I serve him some breakfast.
And also throw all the shade. Ilkal, you actually slept really well. It was quite peaceful. Like, you had it was great.
Dreams?
Pretty.
Of note?
Not really. And you managed to actually nestle yourself kind of into like a tree stump a little bit, and it kind of like fit the curvature and packed just perfectly. And it was just like one of those, like, it felt like you were asleep 5 minutes, but you woke up perfectly rested. It was like you time traveled even.
Nice.
The road trip home took way less time than it should have, kind of thing.
While they're eating.
Yep.
Zixel like just sits next to Pyle, like, did you hear something?
Yeah, I'll just say yeah. I did. And
yes,
did you?
I swear, yes. Something called me Catman. I did not like it.
Hope you have a good breakfast.
I will.
Stellar conversation.
Kyle has never had a good conversation in their entire life.
That they can remember.
Did it say anything else?
Like,
it gave me a riddle that I don't quite remember. But it was quite a cool riddle. I just don't remember it because I've got a memory of a something with bad memory.
Goldfish.
Pilot doesn't know.
Pilot also not good at metaphors. Pilot very literal. Yeah, so you wake up. You get a general bearing on your situation. And you get moving. You have a general idea. Still a little more north than west now. I feel like you've traveled. It's not due north, based on like where you can kind of tell the sun is, but it's a lot more north than west. Can I get a survival check from someone? And a perception check from someone?
I'll do perception.
Let's leave the survival to Saf.
Natural 20.
Oh.
Nice. Dude. Your dice are making up for it.
8 perception.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Saf, you're not picking out anything in the terrain. You're guiding really well. And then Alphonse, you're kind of keeping track of pilot, and you hear a whoosh. Whoosh. Don't. And you go, fuck, stop. And you get over there. And fairly close. Must have been moving fairly quietly until you got nearby. Crunching through the trees is an enormous, it's large, green creature.